Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 28th day of April, 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting, the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is who will stand in the gap? And of course, we're referring to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cymru am Byth. We will accept calls later on in the program. We do ask that you keep them short and to the point so that others can participate. And I also remind you that we are in the question and answer mode at freeconferencecall.com. Our website is www.pastordan.net. And, of course, Pastor Dan is all together, no spaces, just PastorDan.net. Lots of information there. I'm adding to it every single day, especially the news items and the daily news. Email, they are tampering with. It's getting harder and harder to send out bulk notifications and information that way, especially Yahoo and Gmail. Seem to be the two worst at the moment. So to make my life a lot easier and better for everybody else, I'm asking everybody to go to PastorDan.net once in a while, at least check the daily mail. Okay, I put a lot of stuff up on the health page, the lock and load for weapons and home defense, the news and related items page, which has a lot of references there, and things like that. Of course, archives also of past programs. So a lot of information, PastorDan.net. I had a couple funny things when I turned on the show for today. Free conference call did not respond as it normally does, so if somebody could give me a thumbs up on, in the chat room here or to the email at bydpastordan@yahoo.com. And again, that's bydpastordan, that's all together, no spaces, @yahoo.com. Just give me a thumbs up, let me know that the sound quality and all is good, because Lane says coming in fine here in Texas, and Boone says thank you, you're the best. Much appreciated. So good. Thank you. I'm not sure why it does that. Every now and then there is a glitch in the program. A lot of funny things happening today. Lots of funny things. Jimmy, of course, up there in Tampa with Bank versus UTV. Also, I think his new YouTube channel is Cigar Jimmy, because they're giving him trouble too with censorship and whatnot. So, YouTube is giving issues this morning. Phone sounds good. All right. Excellent. Thank you, Jimmy. Wow. Where do we begin with what's going on? Now, we're going to get to the main topic here of who will stand in the gap, which is a reference to Ezekiel chapter 22. Also, in studying this and reading Matthew Henry's commentary on this particular chapter, it's so appropriate for where we are today and who will stand in the gap. And you'll find that that's a defensive measure when things are getting really ugly. Okay. And that's why we put out this call, who will stand in the gap. Also, to let you know that, and I'm not trying to blow my own horn here, but the audience here at By Yahweh's Design, especially those faithful that have been with me for a long, long period of time, such as Lane down there in Texas, I think he's been with me for 15 years. I want you to know something, that every day it seems I'm hearing more and more other channels talk about the issues that you and I have been here as brothers and sisters talking about for most of the last 20 years. everything from 9/11, which we nailed it the day it happened. I did an interview with Fearless Jim Floyd the day the towers came down. If you listen to that interview, Jimmy and I went into the fact that it was a setup, it was staged, and we were being lied to. The day it happened, we talked about that. So, again, I like to think our folks here are part of the elect. And as I'm hearing more and more of what we talk about here being repeated and reiterated on these other channels, it tells me that the scripture that says that Father's word will not go out and come back to him void. We speak and put into the airwaves truth. No matter what subject that we're talking about, our goal is always the truth, and that's the way it should be. Another new word, love finding new words that affect our people. This is a new one, and I'm going to wait to see when the other channels pick up on it, because I've noticed they picked up on the use of the word cabal, which we started years ago. Also, a few other words like radamanthine, I'm waiting for them to pick up on that, because that's certainly applicable. But another new word that'll be interesting is cacistocracy, because that's exactly what we have in this country, is a cacistocracy. And, of course, that's based on the Greek language, and it's defined as governance by the worst elements of society, who govern exclusively in their own interests and to the permanent detriment of all other classes. TheFreeDictionary.com has government by the least qualified or the most unprincipled citizens. And in our case, they're not even citizens in many cases, because if you go back to the founding documents of this country, the founding fathers never intended anybody but the white man and white women and their children to have citizenship, okay? Which makes sense. Go back and look at ancient Rome. Okay, citizenship was an honor. The Apostle Paul's life was spared when they came after him because he claimed his Roman citizenship. Okay, citizenship is not to be handed out like candy, like they're doing today, by our unprincipled and unqualified morons in the cacistocracy. Citizenship is a serious thing, and why do you want it to be a homogenous people? Because the very word nation speaks of the fact that it's to be a homogenous, not a mixed polyglot of people. They're supposed to have things in common, not detriment. So homogenous, you go to Israel, who runs Israel? Jews do. Nobody seems to have a problem with that. Nobody has a problem with that. Not only are you expected to be a racial Jew, you're expected to be a religious Jew over there, even though Netanyahu and many of his Zionist buddies are actual atheists, but they'll hide that, of course, from you and me. So you see my point. You go to China. Who runs China? It's homogenous. It's Chinese. Okay? Go to India. Who's in charge in India? Well, today, anyway, it's the dark-skinned Indians. Back centuries ago, it was the Brahmins who were Aryans, much as the ancient Persians and Medians, Egyptians, Greeks, Parthians, Scythians, they were all Aryan people, our people. And the founding fathers that came here did so to escape tyranny in Europe and wanted to get away from that, whether it was religious tyranny or civil tyranny through monarchs and government officials. They came here to escape all that, but they did not come here to establish a mixing pot full of various religions and various races, because they weren't stupid. Unlike people today, they were educated. They read a lot, they studied a lot, they talked a lot. And they understood that if you want to destroy a nation, you make it a diverse, multicultural situation. Best way to destroy a powerful country is to do it that way. Go back and look at the biblical story of Balaam and Balak. Okay, Balaam the prophet, Balak the king. He couldn't defeat the Israelites, so Balaam told him how to do it. Just put your foreign women, put the prettiest of the foreign women out there, dress them scantily, and have them wiggle their butts and asses in front of the men. Pretty soon you'll have them destroyed. Okay? It's the same idea today. They put these other races amongst us, and we have turned away from our Heavenly Father, ignored all of His warnings, all of His precepts, all of His statutes, as we will see in Ezekiel 22, as He told the people of Jerusalem in His day, the warnings He gave them will apply very much to us today. Jimmy says here that he has a 200 megabytes per second upload speed normally, and today it's running at 0.5 megabyte per second, which that's slow. So not sure what the hell's going on there, but okay, we got a couple quotes here. Richard Buckminster Fuller, and I've heard that name from when I was in school. Can't remember what it was in association with, but I remember the name. He says, "You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete." Hallelujah. My father used to tell me when I was a boy and working out in the fields, you can't argue with success. And out on the farm, it was, you know, if somebody, one of our neighbors showed us a better way to put up barbed wire fence, if it was better than what we were doing, we used it. One day there was a bunch of sagging barbed wire fence. It was my job to go out there and tighten it up. It was a pain in the butt. I mean, you had to put a puller on it. You had to stretch it. You had to restaple the barbed wire. And a lot of times you get yourself cut on the barbed wire because those are very, very sharp barbs. That's why it helps keep the cattle in. All right. One day a neighbor came by with a gadget, looked like a pair of hedge trimmers, only it had a head on it with some teeth. And he walked up to the sagging barbed wire, and he put it, the barbed wire in between those things and pushed the handles together, and it put kinks in the barbed wire. And it wasn't sagging as much. And then he went down about 5 feet further, and he put another set of kinks in the barbed wire. Next thing you know, the barbed wire was stretched tight. It was a better way of doing it. So the next trip into town, guess what we bought? The same tool, the same device, as my father said, you can't argue with success. Somebody showed a faster, safer, easier way to tighten up barbed wire, and it made my life a hell of a lot easier. I wasn't going to argue with it. So it's the same principle. You see what I'm saying? And it's what he's talking about here. Build a new model that makes this existing, decrepit, failing model that we're living in obsolete. Another way of saying is, why don't we try getting back to our Heavenly Father's way? You know, everybody's in a state of rebellion. I don't want to do it that way, Dan. I don't want nobody in authority over me. Well, I got news for you. As long as you're walking on this earth, you're going to be under the authority of somebody. Okay? As the Founding Fathers said, you will either be ruled by Yahweh God or by tyrants. That's your two choices. Listen very carefully. Again, these people were much smarter than we are today. You will either be ruled by the living God, Yahweh, or by tyrants. You want to know why we've got the Pelosi's and the Barbara Walters and Sheila Jackson Lee's and Gary Johnson's and Chuck Schumer's, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, all of them non-white aliens, by the way. Shouldn't even be in our government to start with. But the reason you have them is because you are in rebellion. If you took the time to read Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you would see the verses in there that say racial aliens are never to be given political power within your society. Of course, the Bible uses slightly different terms, but the principle is still the same. And when we talk about the Bible, by the way, I don't memorize any particular version of the Bible, and I don't memorize chapter and verse. Not usually. There's a few I do, but not many. Why? Because just like the Founding Fathers said, it is not the wording of a law that's important, it's the intent of the law. Because definitions change. Or in the case of the United States and every other white nation, you have Zionist interlopers who get in charge of publishing houses, and get into academia, and they change the definitions. But you can't change the intent. The Second Amendment of the Bill of Rights of our Constitution specifically said that we are to be armed, to bear and keep arms at all times. All time. Again, that's a biblical precept. The Bible put it a different way. It said, you are to know the ways of war and the weapons of war. Ye men of Israel, Jacob Israel. It's a people. It's not a country. It's not a fictitious border on a map, a mental construct of the beast system. It's a people. It's us. As there are numerous websites now tracing the thousands upon thousands of evidences of us being the Israelites of old and not these usurpers called Jews today. The Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, people, imposters, posing as the Israelites of old, when in fact they are Satan's children, as the Christ correctly pointed out, by the way, and then they orchestrated through a mock trial. Oh, where does that happen now? Oh, it's called the White Nations of the Earth, where the Jews orchestrate kangaroo courts to silence anybody who stands in their way, just like they did the Christ 2,000 years ago. Nothing new under the sun, is there? Nope, not much. Nothing new under the sun. So, Richard Buckminster Fuller said, never change things fighting the existing. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete, which is what we're trying to do. Then Ralph Waldo Emerson, in his work called The Value of Good Work, he writes, if a man can write a better book, preach a better sermon, or make a better mousetrap, then his neighbors, though he builds his house in the woods or wilderness, the world will make a beaten path to his door. It goes along with what my dad said. If you can show something that's successful, people will flock to you. I've told my children that are trying to start businesses and things like that, I said, the secret to success is to build a better mousetrap. Okay, you don't need to study books by Zig Ziglar and all these other people. I mean, it's common sense, folks. People work by incentives, okay? Everybody's incentive is to spend money wisely and get as much for their buck as they can. If you can show them that you have a device that will accomplish something that they need and you can do it for a fair price, you're successful. You don't need to convince them that they need to buy what you have. For instance, the gospel. When you're teaching the truth, you don't need to beg people to come listen to you. The churches are starting to empty out. Praise Yahweh for that. I've been cursing the preachers for decades now. They're pieces of shit, excuse my French. But my angst against them has reached the point where I'm going to call them what they exactly are. If that offends, I'm sorry. But these preachers today are nothing more than pieces of dog meat. Pieces of dung lying upon the ground, feces, shit, whatever term you want to use for it, useless, smelly, and of no value. And thank God there's many, many people that are starting to do that. Even Chuck, Pastor Dave Dabenmere with newswithviews.com, he's been putting out some daily one-hour YouTube meetings with other gentlemen. Most of them, I agree with them on most issues. They don't get the whole thing, but they do have it nailed tight as far as the denouncing of these charlatans and quacks posing as preachers. Remember, the word pastor comes to us from old words that meant to be a shepherd. A pastor is just another term for what the ancients called a shepherd. Okay, a pastor is to do what? Lead the sheep. Not only lead them, but to protect them. What did shepherds used to do? You've read the 23rd Psalm. Okay, he used to carry a staff, a long, probably made of ash or oak, very hard wood. and it had a hook on the end. Okay, what was the staff to do? Well, it was a walking stick, because he spent a lot of time on his feet with his sheep. It was also to prod the sheep along if he needed to. It was also to beat off wolves or any other predator. And the hooked end was to get the sheep if they fell down into a deep ditch to where he couldn't get down there himself, or if it was too small, it was a baby lamb, he would pull the sheep to safety with the hook of that staff. Do you see how that the principle is this? The pastor, preacher, priest is a shepherd. A shepherd takes care of his flock. He does not take advantage of his flock for gain, which is what the people today do. They preach syrupy sweet sermons because they don't want to offend anybody, because they want the money to keep flowing. See, it's all about the money. What's the Bible say? The love of money is the root of all evil. Did you catch the difference? You know, you often hear people mistranslate or misquote. They'll say, money, Dan, it's that good, it's that money. That guy down there, he's rich and he's evil. Well, money didn't make him evil. Money doesn't make anybody evil. But the love of money makes lots of people evil. Love of money will make lots and lots of people say and do evil things. I put this quote up here because it came from somebody that you would not expect it to, because the historians and the New World Order, the cabal, they want you to think very poorly of the Romans. Well, the Romans did become decadent at different times in their, quote, republic, but not always, okay? You got to remember, too, the word barbarian used to mean non-Roman. That's all it meant. Just like Gentile just meant non-people that were not Israelites. There was no connotation as far as good or bad. It just meant they're outside of us. They're not us. Well, barbarian meant they're not Roman. When the Romans went into the surrounding provinces around the Roman Empire, they didn't go in often as conquerors. They went in as organizers. They brought law and order, and they were actually welcomed by many of the farmers and peasants in those outlying areas, because they were being raided by true barbarians, true vandals. In fact, the word vandal was the name of one of the tribes, and they were very vicious in their attacks, and that's where we get the word vandalism, vandal, behaving like a vandal. Okay, they welcomed the Romans because they brought the order of the republic. Just like Americans used to be welcome abroad, now we're looked at and spit upon. Why? Because of our cacistocracy. That's why. An oligarchy at the top of a cacistocracy. There you go. That's two big 25-cent words for you. Look them up. But anyway, the Roman Emperor Trajan, some very wise words, especially as we go into the months ahead. Use this sword. Now he's talking to his generals and his legionaries. Use this sword against my enemies if, here we go with that conditional statement, if I give righteous commands. However, if I give unrighteous commands, use your sword against me. As Colonel Roy Potter says, as far as Trump and his administration, I support him in all of his righteous deeds. I will be your worst enemy, Mr. Trump, if you attempt unrighteous deeds. That's the divining difference. I trust no man, and that includes Trump, and that includes anybody out of the Pentagon, that includes anybody in Washington, D.C., the District of Criminals, that includes the people in Tallahassee, that includes the county commissioners. I don't trust any of them. I sure as hell don't trust anybody who claims to be a reverend, a priest, a pastor, whatever. Don't trust any of them. And for good reason, because most of them are full of crap. Okay? And it doesn't take very long to listen to them speak or read what they're writing to find huge, gross errors in the things that they're saying. And it's why our people suffer. Our people suffer from a lack of knowledge or truth. It could be either word translated either way, knowledge or truth. And our people, according to the other proverb, suffer from a lack of vision. We don't have anybody giving our people vision. They can't even envision liberty any longer because we don't have anybody showing them. I have been using a new browser to get away from Google and Chrome because Chrome is owned by Google. This was recommended by Sean at SGT Report, and it's called Brave, and its logo is the head of a lion, which I thought was kind of cool, and the very name, Brave, as in Braveheart. And I got to admit, most of the alternative browsers for the internet that I've used, such as Foxfire or Firefox, I guess it's called, they're not working much better. A lot of things didn't work right, and this Brave has been working extremely well. Now there are a few, and I do mean very few, things that Brave does not support, and you might have to go back to using either Firefox or Chrome or something like that to make the program work right. But most everything that's used on a daily basis works just fine. And the Brave.com browser has a lot of privacy things built into it automatically. It also blocks a lot of the ads that slow things down and such as that. And again, because it's not owned by Google, at least to our knowledge, it's not owned by Google. I listened to a very good interview between Ole Damgaard and Jason Leosatos. It's Greek. Leosatos, I believe it's how it's called. And he has a YouTube channel called Outside the Box. But it was an interview entitled Global Awakening, You Are the Change, Overcoming Fear. It was a very good interview. And again, these people, you don't have to agree with them 100%, all right? You don't. If you think you're only going to listen to people that you agree with 100%, you might as well just shut your radio, television, and computers off and just go live in a cave out in the wilderness somewhere because you're going to be a lonely person because you're not going to find anybody that you agree with all the time. That's why the scripture in Thessalonians says that to accept all things and keep that which is good. What's that mean? It means have an open mind. Have an open mind, listen to a brother or sister when they're talking to you, and then dissect it, analyze it, and keep that which is good. A real quick case in point, when I first came to know this message, again, I didn't trust anybody. And so I set about to figure out, well, this identity message makes sense, but I'm going to learn a lot more about it. And so I started buying everything I could. And this is before computer programs and the internet was active. So I looked up through artisan publishers, Aryan Nations, the outlets that carried the, quote, forbidden books and material. And I started ordering cassette tape lectures. Generally, they were hour-long, 60 minutes, but many of them were also 90 minutes. And I got the cassette tapes, and some of them were so bad because they'd been duplicated so much that the noise level was to the point where you could barely make out what the people were saying. That's how bad they were. I would literally have to put a set of headsets on to keep outside noise out and turn the volume up just to pick out the words that were being spoken. But I wanted the truth that bad. I put myself through that. Well, 1,100 lectures later, and I have witnesses that can verify that, 1,100 lectures later, I was still learning. And I'm going to tell you, that was a lot of different so-called preachers or teachers of identity in over 1,000 cassette tapes. That was a lot of time to listen to all that. Did I agree with any one of them on everything? Not a single one of them. Were there some that I discarded as being liars and profligates eventually? Yep, sure did. Were there some that were nuggets of gold like Bertrand Comparé, Wesley Swift, Colonel William Gale? Yeah, yep, they were diamonds in the dung. There wasn't a whole lot of their stuff that I threw away. But there was a whole host of teachers in there. And probably if I had to pick one that I thought was the best of all, it was Bertrand Comparé. And again, that's his name is French, but Comparé is C-O-M-P-A-R-E-T, Comparé in French. He was a lawyer out in California, a very successful lawyer, by the way, and he used his training as a lawyer in his research. And that's probably why his lectures and his determinations were so darn good. Thomas Watson Sr. told us this: nothing so conclusively proves a man's ability to lead as what he does from day to day to lead himself. In other words, what did Christ say? Judge them by their fruits. Hang around with somebody. Listen to the way they talk, they dress, what they do to lead themselves. That'll tell you what kind of leader they are when you're not around. Okay, what do we have in Washington, D.C. today in the swamp? A cacistocracy. All right. If you spend any time around these creatures, you would probably want to go home and take a shower or vomit. They are despicable individuals. Despicable. Now, this one I picked up, which is also very good. Once you become fearless, life becomes limitless. How does the enemy keep us at bay? Mind control. That's what government means, by the way. Govern, to control. Ment is the root word for the Latin, as in mental, your mentality, your thought processes. Government. They control the way you think. How do they do that? They do it with predictive programming, neuro-linguistic language. They also do it with fear. As we read that quote of Henry Heinz, the Jew Kissinger, many times, where he said that terror, and what have we heard since 1991 so much of? Terror. Before 1991, that word was rarely ever spoken of in the press, in schools, or anywhere. And who brought terror? Governments. Because fear is a wonderful tool to manipulate people. Matthew chapter 16, verse 25, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. Another version of that says, because whoever has a desire to keep his life safe will have it taken from him. But whoever gives up his life because of me will have it given back to him. That's just another way of saying the exact same thing. It doesn't mean, you know, I've had some idiots tell me, well, I think the perfect martyr or Christian witness is the guy that goes out and gets himself killed for the gospel. Really? I don't know. When I read the scripture, it wants me to be an overcomer. It wants me to survive. It wants me to fight another day. Not martyr myself. That's retarded. When it says willing to give up your life, it's talking about what you do from day to day. Are you willing to give up some time, face time with your computer? Are you willing to give up some face time with that damn phone that's stuck in everybody's head? Are you willing to give up your golf or your tennis or whatever occupies your precious time? Are you willing to give up some of that for the Messiah? Well, most of you know you're not. You don't give up time for anything. You don't even give up the time it takes to be a good parent. You think society's supposed to do it. The cops are supposed to do it. Your neighbors are supposed to do it. But not you.
Well, if I punish my child, they might come in and accuse me of child abuse.
Well, you not being a parent is child abuse. So pick which one. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 19. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Yeah. Always seeking the delicacies of the whore of Babylon is what the book of Revelation talks about. They're always seeking a new toy, a new gadget, a faster, bigger screen, a bigger, faster, more trinkets car, you name it. And what does it do? It takes your life away. And again, I'll give a little personal observation. Father has diminished my holdings tremendously in the last 10 years. Unbelievably so. 10 years ago, if you had just said I'd be where I'm at today, I'd have laughed. But here's the good news. I feel better. I have less stress. I bounce out of bed in the morning much faster and much easier than I did 10 years ago. Much less stress. I just don't have a lot of stuff. But then again, I don't have to worry about a lot of stuff. It's less of a hook. It's less of a burden that I got to worry about neighbors stealing it or the government stealing it or somebody else stealing it, okay? Less. You actually get your life back. I don't need much money. Don't have much money. Don't need much money. I'm back to where I started out, poor on a farm as a young boy. We were at the poverty level then. When I was in the United States Air Force, I was at the poverty level for those 4 years too. When I started out as a young apprentice in the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, learning how to be a journeyman instrumentation technician, I was just above the poverty level for those years as well. Now I've come full circle and back to below the poverty level once again. But here's the good news. It doesn't hurt. And it actually is a blessing in disguise because now you learn to deal with less things. Maybe you don't go out as often. Maybe you don't buy that new car. Maybe you don't go get a bigger flat screen. In fact, if you're like me, you turn the damn television off. I use it to hang my United States Air Force flag over it now. It's a flag stand because I don't watch TV. Same thing with the radio. In fact, I don't even own one. Don't listen to that. I only have the internet on to do things like I'm doing right now and do research and send out information. I don't spend time playing idiotic games or Facebook or any of this other BS that they've got everybody tied up into. You see, you get your life back. You find other pursuits, and that's what he's talking about here. If you give up some of those things for me, for this work, I'll give your life back to you. Guess what? It's true. Scripture doesn't lie. It never lies. All right, now, we're going to get back into this study from Ezekiel 22, and I want to read that, and we're going to talk about what Mr. Ezekiel had to say to Jerusalem in his day. I'll go ahead and use the World English Bible for now, but then we're going to go into a little detail using Matthew Henry's comments or his commentaries on the chapter. Because, listen up, Jacob Israel, this was what Ezekiel the prophet had to say to your ancestors when they lived in the area of Palestine in his day. And just for the hell of it, try to picture yourself in that city, since what he had to say to them then applies quite a bit to us today. Let me give a pause for just a second and get a sip of coffee. Bulletproof coffee. If you don't know what that is, you need to look it up. Good stuff. Moreover, Yahweh's word came to me saying, you, son of man or son of Adam, you will judge. Will you judge the bloody city? Talking about Jerusalem, bloody city. Then cause her to know all her abominations. Now, when he's talking about Jerusalem, just picture him talking to all of the white Western nations, because this applies to you. You shall say, thus says Yahweh the Lord. a city that sheds blood within herself, that her time may come, and that makes idols against herself to defile her. You have become guilty in your blood that you have shed, and are defiled in your idols which you have made. And you have ceased, or I should say, caused your days to draw near, or come near, and have come even to your years. Therefore have I made you a reproach to the nations. Let's talk about people other than yourself. So these other nations out there, we have become a reproach and a mocking to all the other countries or kingdoms. Those who are near and those who are far from you shall mock you, you infamous one, full of tumult. Behold, the princes or governors or prime ministers of Jacob Israel, everyone according to his power, have been in you to shed blood. How much blood have we shed in warfare, constantly interfering with the things going on around this world, just so the military-industrial complex and these contractors can make trillions of dollars? How much innocent blood do you think has been shed? Verse 7, in you have they set lightly my father and mother. Among you they have dealt by oppression with the foreigner, or somebody coming in from the outside. In you have they wronged the fatherless, or orphans, and the widows. You have despised my holy, or separated things, and have profaned my Sabbaths, meaning rest periods. You know when that started? When I was a young man. Actually, when I went into the Air Force, you know what they worked us? 7 days a week, 12 to 14 hours a day. That was a standard work week during the Vietnam War for those of us at my air base. 7 days a week, 12 to 14 hours a day. Needless to say, that profaned the idea of one day and seven resting the body, didn't it? Do you know what the divorce rate was in the bomb group that I was in the Air Force? Especially in the maintenance squadrons, the divorce rate was very close to 90 to 95%. Interestingly enough, when I left the Air Force, I went into the nuclear power field, and during construction of nuclear power, because it's all about the money, they want to get the plant built as quickly as possible, and contractors who, like myself, you work for the contract company, they make more money. The more money you make, they make more money. So they're obviously anxious to work you. They did the same thing. The standard work week was 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. And that did not include your lunch and your travel time. So you were putting in at least 14 to 15-hour day every day. 7 days a week. And guess what the divorce rate was in the plants that I worked in? Just about the same, somewhere around 90 to 95%. And many fights, many arguments, and even a few of the people I worked with had to be admitted to psychiatric evaluation. They were having nervous breakdowns. Why? You profane my Sabbaths. Why do the farmers out here have a hard time giving us any kind of nutritional food? Because they profane the Sabbath of the land. You're supposed to fallow. When I was a boy, farmers used to talk about fallowing their fields. What did fallow mean? It means you give it a year's rest. Every 7 years, give it a year's rest. Don't do anything. Don't plant anything. Let the bugs have it. Let the vegetation go back into the soil. Let the minerals replenish. We don't do that anymore. Why? Because everybody's so far in debt in this Jewish fiat money system. You profane my Sabbaths. Now the land does not yield food fit to eat, and the people are also profane. Number 9, slanderous men have been in you to shed blood. And in you they have eaten out the mountains. They have committed lewdness among you. Lewdness is sexual fornication. In you they have uncovered their father's nakedness, meaning incest amongst family members. In you have they humbled her who was unclean in her impurity, meaning having sex with a woman during her menstrual cycle, unclean. Jimmy says he's got to go call his ISP and chew out their butts. Okay, Jimmy. One has committed abomination with his neighbor's wife. All right, that's coveting your neighbor. That's not idolatry or adultery. Excuse me. The word idolatry is a misnomer. That word in that particular verse is the Greek word mukesus, which means do not mongrelize. The verse that applies to lying with your neighbor's wife is further down on the Ten Commandments, talking about do not covet what belongs to your neighbor. And another has lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another in you has humbled his sister, again, incestuous relationships, his father's daughter. In you have they taken bribes to shed blood. Hey, you military guys, you law enforcement out there, they're talking to you. You've taken bribes. Oh, I know, you call it a paycheck. No, it's not. It's a bribe. It's a bribe in order to stay silent about what you know. It's a bribe. Well, they'll threaten. They'll fire me. They'll take away my pension, or they'll put me in jail. It's still a bribe. It's a bribe. Call it whatever you want to call it. It's a bribe, and you've taken it to shed blood. Innocent people have died because of your actions. You have innocent blood on your hands. You have taken interest and increase. This is called usury. This is how the Jew operates. And you have greedily gained of your neighbors by oppression and have forgotten me, says the Lord Yahweh. Behold, therefore, I have struck my hand at your dishonest gain, which you have made, and at your blood, which you have been within you. Can your heart endure, or can your hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with you? This is Yahweh talking to us. I, Yahweh, have spoken it and will do it. We today on this channel are putting his words into the ethers. Yahweh's name has power, folks. His judgment is coming. I will scatter you among the nations and disperse you through the countries, and I will consume your filthiness out of you. Anybody that says God bless America anymore is an idiot. I'm sorry. If you think for one moment that we're being blessed, you are completely blind. And if you think for one minute our Father owes us a blessing with our behavior, again, you are an idiot. Sorry, truth hurts, but it is the truth. 16, you shall be profaned in yourself in the sight of the nations, and you shall know that I am Yahweh, which means I am that I am. The French call him l'éternel, the eternal one. Farrar Fenton also uses it in his translation, the Father's name, what it means, the eternal one. Yahweh's word came to me saying, Son of man, the house of Jacob Israel has become dross to me. Anybody out there that purifies things like silver and gold knows what dross is. It's the contaminants. So we, his children, have become a contaminant. All of them are brass and tin and iron and lead in the middle of the furnace. They are the dross of silver. Therefore, thus says the Lord Yahweh, because you have all become dross, therefore, behold, I will gather you into the middle of Jerusalem, figuratively the western civilized nations of the white race, as they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the middle of the furnace to blow the fire on it, to melt it, so will I gather you in my anger and in my wrath, and I will lay you there and melt you. It's called fiery judgment. Are the white Western nations under judgment right now? You better believe they are. Yes, I will gather you and blow on you with the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in the middle of it. As silver is melted in the middle of the furnace, so you will be melted in the middle of it. And you will know that I, Yahweh, have poured out my wrath upon you. Yahweh's word came to me, saying, Son of man, tell her, meaning the inhabitants of Jerusalem, today it would be the inhabitants of the white nations, you are a land that is not cleansed, nor rained on in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets within her. Uh-oh. What? Wait a minute. I thought the CIA told us conspiracy theories is a sign of mental illness. Right here in Ezekiel's using the word conspiracy. There is a conspiracy of her prophets within it, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. It's called churchianity. It's called mainstream denominationalism, the whore, the daughter, the whore of the great whore, the Roman Catholic Church. They have devoured souls. They take treasure and precious things. They have made her widows many within it. Her priests have done violence to my law, as in, you don't lay with little children, you don't sodomize boys, you don't sell people's organs on an open market, you don't sell them into sex slave trading. Are you listening, Roman Catholic whore? Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy or the separated and the common. Neither have they caused men to discern between the unclean and the clean, and have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned amongst them. It is called the great whore for a reason. We no longer cause our people to know the difference between the clean and the unclean, do we? How many people out there know there's a difference between clean and unclean food? Clean and unclean fabrics. Clean and unclean behavior. How many? Her princes, meaning people in government, people in leadership positions, her princes within it are like wolves, ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls, that they may get dishonest gain. Kakistocracy. Her prophets have plastered for them with whitewash, seeing false visions and divining lies to them, saying, Thus says the Lord Yahweh, when Yahweh has not spoken. Can you say Jerry Falwell? Can you say Oral Roberts? Can you say Joel Osteen? Can you say John Hagee? Can you say Kenneth Copeland? All of the whores for profit that speak lies and claim to speak for the King of Kings, you are profligate liars. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery. Yes, they have troubled the poor and needy and have oppressed the foreigner wrongly. I sought for a man among them. Pay attention. This is the verse that today's message is based on. I sought for a man among them who shall build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. What a sad, sad, condemning statement of the white race. The white race with the blood of Abraham within it anyway, the people of the covenants and the promises, the majority of our people. What a sad statement. I looked and sought for a man who should build up the wall. It's talking about the wall around Jerusalem that protects the city. It's figurative too. Who's protecting our borders? Where are the men? Why are we letting rogue agencies like the Federal Bureau of Investigation or FBI, a rogue element of our government, go down and arrest a militia man on the border trying to protect our borders? He's standing in the gap. He had enough courage to stand in the gap, and we allowed rogue elements of this criminal government to go down there and harass him over some bogus law. And any law that says a man, because he's been convicted of a felony, can't have a weapon, is a bogus law. It's unconstitutional. If the man has been freed from jail and claimed to have been safe to come back to society, he's entitled to all rights restored. Period. Period. Therefore, have I poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I brought on their heads, says the Lord Yahweh. Again, Ezekiel chapter 22. Quite condemning, wouldn't you say, white Western nations, of your pathetic inability to protect your borders, your widows and orphans? The stranger who assumes he will find protection when he comes to visit? Or like that poor German cyclist that was murdered by the non-whites down there in Texas some years ago, came here to visit? We couldn't even protect a stranger that came in, an alien, or not an alien actually, he's a foreigner, somebody who wasn't from America, but he was one of our people. I'm going to read a little bit about what Matthew Henry says here. Most commentaries I don't care for, but I think Matthew Henry is probably one of the better ones. If you're ever reading, if you've got the Bible program on your computer called eSword, it's kind of nice because when you call up, like here, Ezekiel 22, you can click on commentaries and pick, I think they have like 8 different sets of commentaries in the program. And it'll give you his commentaries on that particular chapter. So that's what I'm saying. In this world today with these computers and what they'll do, for you not to know what our Father's telling us in Scripture is a sin. Compared to the days when we started out these things and you had to look it up in hard copy books, that's all you had. Or in notes that you took. We used to keep 3-ring binders of notebooks full of our notes that we took. You'd have to remember where you put it and go look it up. Now you just put a cursor over it and it pops up on the screen. How much easier could it be? The only danger to that is the people that create the program, did they put the correct definition or did they give all of the definitions? So, similar to the Hebrew words where it talks about Eve in the garden, most of your electronic editions do not put all of the definitions of the Hebrew words, especially the Hebrew words that have to do with a sexual sin. Make it very, very clear that Eve's sin was a sexual sin. Had nothing to do with eating a piece of fruit. How ridiculous. It's no wonder some of these atheists and agnostics make fun of the scriptures when our people in the churchianity go around talking such nonsense that Adam and Eve picked the fruit off of an apple tree and ate it and she was condemned for it. How retarded can you be? When the translator obviously should have made it very explicit. And what a crime that we've had so many translations since then, but almost none of them get it right. At least the English translations I've gotten, almost none of them have it right. Eve laid with Nakash, which was a man. A despicable, undeserving man. Much like the people in our government, in our cacistocracy. A deceiver. She was seduced, okay? Tell me the scriptures don't become alive with new meaning when you understand that it was sexual sin. Now you understand why pain in childbirth was part of her Genesis punishment, okay? In fact, while I'm thinking about it, let me stop here before I get into this commentary. I'm going to go to Genesis, where he in chapter 3, where he talks to the woman after her fall. And I'm using the apostolic, this is the King James here, but I'm going to go to the Apostolic Bible Polyglot, which they have online. I have a hard copy of it as well, so I can verify that they haven't cheated or put something different in here. Let's see. And he said to the woman, wait a minute. I just lost it. Bear with me for a second here. When I switched versions, I got transferred to a different section. Just a second, second. That's odd. Here it is. Okay, 3:16. Chapter 3, verse 16, and to the woman he said, in multiplying, I will multiply your distresses. And again, this is from the Septuagint. And your moanings. In distresses, you will bear children. And to your husband, your submission. Now, most of the English translations put, your desire will be for your husband. That's not what it said in the original text. It said, to your husband, your submission, and he will dominate or rule over you. That's in the original Septuagint. Now, why do you suppose that was? Why do you suppose he said to her that she will be in subordination to her husband? Ladies, can you tell me? Gents, can you tell me? Why would he do that? Especially if it was just eating a piece of fruit. Okay, that's not what it was. Nakash deceived Eve when he caught her alone. Now, Adam's punishment was that he was going to have to toil when he had it pretty good because he disobeyed the law of coverture, which means Adam is never to leave Eve uncovered or unprotected because they are vulnerable. Isn't it interesting in the white nations of the world, up until the recent period of time, a woman could not sign a contract without a male member of her family as a cosigner. Why do you think that is, folks? It goes back to the Genesis chapter 3, that's why. Because evil men will deceive our ladies with sweet-sounding words. Our women are emotional creatures. Why do you think they wanted women's suffrage in the 1920s in America? Why do you think it was always Jewish women who were clamoring for voting rights? You think that was by accident? And it was Jewish money paying for them to go on the campaign trail to convince white women that somehow they were being abused. Why do you think that was? All right? Because they want Eve separated from the protection of Adam. Adam's job is to be logical and speculative and circumspect and suspicious of shysters. Now that women have become completely unhinged from their being under the authority of Adam, man, look at what's happened. Nakash is having free reign with our women. They're believing all the BS coming across the toilets, the electronic toilets. Again, Eve has been separated, and now the serpent people are having their way with our women. Adam, we were to be the cover for our Eves. And that meant to the point of taking the enemy and running them through with a spear or a sword, if necessary, to protect our ladies. And now today, we mock the people that try to protect them, and we celebrate degeneracy, race mixing, and all of the other vices that the hideous Jew makes money on, using the flesh of our people. It's no wonder we deserve judgment. We just don't rightly discern anything anymore. We can't even figure out the basics. And of course, these poor translations are part of it. But again, did Yahweh provide tools to figure it out? Well, I'm not a rocket scientist, and I was able to figure it out. And really, I'm not the smartest guy on the block. So if I can figure it out, so can you. All it takes is a desire to know the truth, and that's what our people have lacked for a very long time. The truth has not mattered. What's mattered is how I feel. Do I feel good? Do I feel special? And don't you hurt my feelings by telling me I'm an idiot. Don't you hurt my feelings telling me that Yahweh God doesn't want me to do this. I'll be a god unto myself, saith Eve and Adam. And Nakash is sitting over there going, oy vey, we got him again. Here we are back in the garden. We've got him. Oh, they've turned against their father and they're listening to us. Oy vey, pass me another round of drinks over here. The synagogue's getting full. It's time to pray the Kol Nidre, where we can lie to these simpletons for another year, even under oath, and our religion says it's okay to do it. While the Goyim are constantly being raped and robbed and killed in action, it's unbelievable. Matthew Henry's commentaries. In these verses, the prophet, by a commission from heaven, sits as a judge upon the bench, and Jerusalem is made to hold up her hand as a prisoner at the bar. And if prophets were set over other nations, much more over Yahweh's nation, as in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. This prophet is authorized to judge the bloody city, the city of bloods, Jerusalem is so called, not only because she had been guilty of the particular sin of bloodshed, but because her crimes in general were bloody crimes, as evidenced in Ezekiel 7, verse 23. Such as polluted in her blood, and for which she deserved to have blood given to her to drink. Now the business of a judge with a malefactor is to convict him of his crimes and then to pass sentence upon him for them. These two things Ezekiel is to do here. He is to find Jerusalem, speaking of, again, just substitute the white Western nations for the word Jerusalem, guilty of many heinous crimes here enumerated in a long bill of indictment, and it is bill of vera, a true bill. So he writes upon it, whose judgment, we are sure, is according to truth. He must show her all her abominations, as in verse 2, that Yahweh may be justified in all the desolations brought upon her. Let us take a view of all the particular sins which the white Western nations here stands charged. And they are all exceedingly sinful. And again, what is sin? Let's see. Oh, that's right. Violation of Yahweh's law. Number one, murder. The city sheds blood, not only in the suburbs where the strangers dwell, or those visiting from outside, but in the midst of her, where, one would think, the magistrates would be, if any were, vigilant. Even there, people were murdered, either in duels or by secret assassinations and poisonings, or in the courts of justice under the color of law. Have we heard anybody talking like this lately? Matthew Henry wrote this quite a while ago. In the courts of justice under color of law. Can you say Lavoy Finicum? Can you say Yuri Call, son of Gordon Call, gunned down by criminal elements of this government? Can you say Randy Weaver's son Sammy? Can you say Randy Weaver's wife Vicky? Can you say the men, women, and children burned alive at Waco, Texas? Can you say Oklahoma City, where the children were buried in the rubble? Can you say the first responders who died in New York City on September 11th? Innocent blood, all covered up under the color of law. Color of law means it's given the window dressing to appear legal when in fact it's unlawful. And there was no care taken to discover and punish the murderers according to the law, meaning Yahweh's law. as in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. No, nor so much as the ceremony used to expiate an uncertain murder. And so the guilt and pollution remains upon the white Western European nations. Thus thou hast become guilty in thy blood that thou hast shed. Ezekiel 22, verse 4. This crime is insisted most upon, for it was Jerusalem or the white Western European nations measure-filling sin more than ever. It is said to be that which Yahweh would not pardon. 2 Kings 24, verse 4. And it goes on down through here. Again, I'm not going to take the time today. You can go to eSword or you can look up Matthew Henry's commentaries. I'm sure it's an online free version now. Look it up and read the rest of it. He just goes into a much more detailed analysis of what we just read about the judgments against our people. Every one of these judgments applies to the white Western European nations today. Because you've been taken over by aliens. Aliens who do not recognize our Heavenly Father. But the reason they don't recognize Him is because we don't. How can you expect the stranger to honor what you don't honor? You want to answer that for me, please? How do you expect others, aliens, foreigners, those not of our kind, those not of Yahweh, to respect Yahweh and His law when you don't? Just saying. It's a condemnation upon our people today, what Prophet Ezekiel talked about. And it fits like a glove perfectly. Perfectly. I watched a video, or most of the video, I didn't get to finish it just before airtime, between Kevin Shipp, the former CIA officer, highly decorated, top clearance, and Greg Hunter, warning that the Patriots need to be ready for the left's assault because the end for them is near. I don't know if Trump is going to do the right thing or not. It really doesn't matter. This is Yahweh's plan, and Yahweh will punish us if we don't repent. So for those folks out there in the Patriot world that thinks that all of these criminals, and trust me, I know there's tons of criminals, have committed treason, insurrection, murder, pedophilia, pedivores, organ trafficking, opiate addiction, all these are the work of our enemies. But they're also the punishments on a people who are unrepentant. Now, let's remember that our Heavenly Father is we're made in His image, so we're just a shadow, okay? So think of the most brilliant Adamic man you can think of. And remember, he is a mere shadow of the Father. Do you think our Father doesn't know what's going on? You don't think our Father can give us tools and weapons to defeat this cabal? What do you think our Father expects us to do before He gives the green light for retribution? Okay? What do you think? It's called repentance. And I don't see a whole lot of repentance, really, in Washington, D.C., the Pentagon, even some of the Patriot groups. Maybe the Patriots down on the New Mexico border there were not believers. Maybe that's why they're being punished. I don't know. All I know is if you don't get it right, don't expect the Father to bless it. All of these punishments are to get you to understand something. You belong to Him. Just as Eve is to understand her submission to Adam, Adam is to understand his submission to the Father. You've left that out. In your personal lives, in your businesses, and in your homes, you act like you're a god unto yourself. I got news for you. No, you're not. I've also got news for you. If you think the world is punishing you, you have no idea what He can do to you. And all he's asking is for you to repent, rethink. Come back to him. Come back to my law. Yahweh and his law are inseparable, folks. The person that's out there walking and saying, I can do whatever I want, how do you look at me straight in the eye and tell me that you and the Father walk together when you think that his law doesn't apply? I'm talking about all of his law. And don't hand me this garbage like so many of these modern-day misfits. Well, that's an Old Testament thing, Dan, and we're New Testament Christians. I love that. I'm a New Testament Christian. Okay, you're a New Testament Christian, and Christ is your Messiah, right? He's the anointed, right? Yeah, that's right. I got the blood of the Lamb on my Dan. And what is it that Christ quoted all the time? Well, that's right, the prophets. And where is it recorded what the prophets said? Oh, in the Old Testament. When he said to obey the law, do you think the Ten Commandments were part of that? That's an Exodus. That's Old Testament too. And let's see, how often did our Messiah, the one that you guys claim to follow, how often did he quote Paul? Answer is zero. Never. How often did he quote Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? Answer zero. That's funny. How often did he quote Peter? Zero. Answer for that one, too. So, wait a minute. The guy that you claim is your Savior, the anointed of Yahweh, who walked a perfect walk on this earth to teach us things, and yet he only quoted the prophets and the Old Testament, and you don't believe that that book belongs to us, that it's not to be read or followed, but the one that you claim is your Messiah, he did. How does that work? How does that work? Would one of the Zionist Christians out there want to call in sometime and let's have a discussion, because I would really like to hear that one explained. How is it you claim to follow the risen Christ who followed and taught from the scriptures of the Old Testament? And also, by the way, books like the Book of Jashers and Judges and things like that, books that the Catholic Church didn't put in our canon. Yeah, your Bible comes from Catholicism, by the way, folks. So if you think that book you're carrying around is all the information our Father gave us, again, you are dumber than a box of rocks. You don't go to your closet, your quiet place, and think about anything. You don't. You just regurgitate what the preacher tells you, what the newscaster tells you, what the movies tell you, what the Jew at CNN tells you. You just regurgitate bullshit. And you think you're educated. You think you're informed. No, you're an idiot. Plain and simple, an idiot. If you at this time can't figure out that you're being fooled and we have an enemy getting ready to close in on us, sorry. Sorry. And here's the good thing. Father has a solution for the unrepentant white man or woman, the sinners. He has a remedy for that unrepentant white folk. You know what it is? Yeah, it's called death. It's called misery. It's called disease. It's called mental illness. When you believe the false prophets and your idols, you know, idols like Dr. Oz, the Jew, who will not vaccinate his own children, but he'll get on front of that Talmud vision, the electronic toilet, and he'll tell you need to vaccinate your children. But being a hypocrite is what one of the signs, according to Luke, that Messiah told us that was a sign of who? Oh, the Antichrist. Who would be what? Oh, that's right, Jews. By their religion, they're Antichrist. By their actions, they are Antichrist. And by their words, they are Antichrist. but you morons follow it. Yeah, I'm calling you exactly what you are at this point in the game. You're morons. So this Dr. Oz, a complete profligate, lying, hypocritical, kike Jew, will tell you on the flat screen, the electronic toilet, that you need to go down and put that bullshit in your arms and into your children when he doesn't do it to his own. And I got a double witness to that because my daughter worked for a Jew in a pharmacy many years ago, and she told me the exact same thing. The Jew that owned the pharmacy would not put anything out of that pharmacy into his family members. He said it's poison. And yet he owned it, and he made money selling it to you and me. Double witness. I have a double witness. That's biblical. Double witness. Out of Oz's own mouth, Dr. Oz's own mouth, he admits that he does not vaccinate his own children. And out of the mouth of my daughter, who is a nurse, and the fact that she worked for a Jew pharmacist. Okay? Double witness, if you're paying attention, double witness. Now they're trying to make anti-vaxxers out to be mentally ill, a threat to society, but doesn't the Jew lie? Isn't that what he's supposed to do? Mislead and lie? Yeah, that's what they're famous for. Just like Dr. Oz. Hypocrites. And people say, well, Dr. Oz went on camera, he got one. What was in the syringe? Sugar water? You people, does your brains function any longer? Are you so saturated with bullshit from the electronic toilets that you can't even think anymore? You think because an actor, already a liar, a proven liar and a hypocrite, you think he's sitting on there actually having a vaccine pooped into his arm? Or like those morons at that one award ceremony when the idiots came down and everybody was supposed to roll up their sleeve? Do you think those were real vaccinations they were pumping into those morons' arms? It's all kabuki theater, folks. You're supposed to have enough sense to know it's an unverified, unsafe poison. And the fact that your enemy wants it in you and your children ought to be your first warning. Anything the government pushes that hard should be your first warning. And what are they pushing now? Hard for 5G technology. Gee, I wonder why. Has it ever dawned on anybody why they might be doing that? Just asking. Kevin Shipp in that interview with Greg Hunter went on to say that President Trump took us out of Agenda 21, supposedly. Again, I don't have proof of this. But supposedly vetoed our entrance into the UN treaty for Agenda 21, especially the part where small arms control, basically disarm the American people. We'll see in the coming days whether it's true or not. But if it did, then that's a righteous act, and I support the POTUS for doing that. All right? He still has to explain Mike Pompeo, John Bolton, and Elliot Abrams to me, though. Okay? And Nikki Haley, when he appointed her, and why he let Hillary go. Those I need an explanation for. But doing the right thing as far as getting us out of that agenda, okay, that's good. But again, is that a bone to take us off the betrayal of other areas? Time will tell. Time will tell. Like I said, I don't trust anybody. I only trust our Father. And I also know one thing. You're not going to have any savior of any kind until you repent, people. You don't deserve it. Sorry, you don't. If I'm unrepentant, I don't deserve it. Why do you think that as a group of people, you know, most of the 3/4 of the Bible is to the nation, the people, the race of Adam. 3/4 of the book is to the entire race. It's not to individuals. It's to us as a body of people. And you're not doing it. You haven't got anybody to stand in the gap. We've got gaping holes in our theology, gaping holes in our logic, gaping holes in our education system, gaping holes in our medical establishment. gaping holes in the borders of our country. Who's going to stand in the gap? I'm going to tell you one thing. If you're going to stand in the gap like King David did with Goliath, because that's what he did, where were all the brave men? They were up on the top of the hill. All those brave guys with the big shields and the big swords and the big spears, all that armor, they were up on top of the hill. They didn't want to come down. Okay, got a great big gaping hole. Who did it? King David did it. King David said, I will be the vengeance of my father. And the modern day church world says, well, vengeance belongs to the Lord. Yeah, that's what David was praying, all right. Because it's true, vengeance belongs to Yahweh. But you know what's funny about that? How many people think about this? King David was praying that as he was picking up the rocks that he would eventually kill Goliath with. Are you thinking here now? Are the brain matter starting to put cogent thoughts together at all? I have to ask. He was praying that as he was picking up the rocks, folks. So do you think King David meant that, well, I'm going to go sit with those other guys at the top of the hill and we're going to pray the Philistines away. I'm going to pray Goliath dead. I'm going to pray that Father gives me a new Cadillac. I'm going to pray that he's going to give me a 3-story house. Let me know how that works out for you as the enemy pours through our gates. Let me know how it works out for you with all that prayer, but you don't want to pick up rocks. You don't want to get down there with that sling. You don't want to get down there with that AR-15. Let me know how it works out when the enemy's pouring through the gates as you're sitting there praying for salvation, when Yahweh gave you the ability to load magazines and pull triggers. You have an enemy invading your lands, folks. These are not refugees, they're invaders. They're not here for refugee status. They're here to invade. Because they could have refugee status as soon as they left the countries that they left. Any other country we could give them refugee status if they just wanted safety. They're not about safety. George Soros and the Catholic institutions are who's funding them coming here. So what does that tell you? It's an invasion. Wake the hell up. Even Kevin Shipp said during that interview that we have the right to alter, abolish, or reform government as we see fit. In fact, we should stop using the term government. It means to control our minds. We don't need people playing with our heads. What we need are statesmen. What we need are leaders. No more politicians. No more politics. No more liars and profligates in a kakistocracy. How about a statesman that is a monarch and a body of his privy council who are the best of our men from our different districts to give him counsel and to watch over him to make sure he stays true? Seems awful simple to me. Seems perfectly simple. Seems like it could work. All right, you just have to pick the right leaders, folks. Just as Christ himself is supposed to be the leader in your life, but it doesn't show in the way we behave. Our women rule over us, our children rule over us, aliens rule over us, thugs in badges and uniforms rule over us, thugs with military weapons and MRAPs and helmets rule over us, morons from Washington, D.C. rule over us. Anybody left? Who doesn't rule over you, white man? Now you got the county tax assessor, the county sheriff. Hey, I got one I want to throw out there. I like these little nuggets I find every now and then. I was looking up in the dictionary for another Hebrew word, and I came across one. And guess what this word means? It means to have dominion, govern, rule, or have power. It's the word marshal. So where did we get the word marshal? Oh, it's from the Hebrew. How about that? Another sign of who we are, just like the word sheriff comes from Shire Reef, the reef of the Shire, the head magistrate within the Shire, which the Shire was much like a county is today. The Shire Reef, the head magistrate, the head authority for civil matters. How about that? So our antiquity comes up in our faces all the time. Just like I talked about the Gaelic Welsh word for father is what? Dad. And Welsh is what? Ancient Hebrew. It's as close as you're going to hear to ancient Hebrew. Go listen to Welsh people talking, and you're going to listen and hear 3,500 years ago what Moses and Abraham would have sounded like having a conversation. Go listen to the Welsh. The Scottish and Irish, close, but it's the Welsh that is the purest. All right? So the Welsh word dad is where we get our word dad, obviously. So how many people know that, though? I used that the whole time I was, until about a year ago. Used it, had no idea where it came from. In fact, when I looked it up in the dictionary, I don't think they gave the Welsh credit for it. Very few times they'll give it credit. Very few times will the secular sources lead you in the right direction. You got to go to, like I said, Bertrand Comparet or the other sources to figure it out. Now, I was talking about King David standing in the gap. Our people are just standing in the gap, and a lot of people are saying, well, no, we pray about it. We're gonna let the government take care of it. Well, they've proven how they can take care of it. It's called not. They're not taking care of it, obviously, because it's run by a cacistocracy. You have to learn that these people do not have your best interests, and they are liars and outlaws. Washington, D.C. is full of liars and outlaws. We need to get back to sovereign states. Governors need to put their big boys and big boy pants on and pull up their boots and do their damn jobs and start taking protection of the people within the borders of their states and tell Uncle Sam to get the hell out and instruct every sheriff that if a member of Washington, D.C. is within the borders of that state, they are to be arrested immediately. Governors, are you listening? Anybody coming into the state from Washington, D.C. without having the approval of the sheriff is to be arrested immediately. He is a spy, he is an enemy agent, and has no authority within that county. Sheriffs, do your damn job. Instead of giving tickets out and harassing law-abiding citizens based on red flag laws and all this other bullshit that's coming down, why don't you do your real job and keep the feds out of our states? In fact, truth be known, sheriffs, state officials within the county that have not gone through your office to get proper authorization should be arrested as well. They have no business in the county. That's your job. You are the hedge. You're the wall. You are to stand in the gap when tyrants from the federal or the state government try to put their measures upon the people of your county. That's your job. If you can't do that job, then get the hell out of it. If the men and women at work for you don't want to do the job, get rid of them. Serious times. Take serious measures. But anyway, for those people that listen to these morons trying to tell you that we have no right to take things into our own hands, I beg to differ. Let's read Psalm 149, all right? So you tell me what this is saying. I'll read it in the Bible in basic English. Let Yahweh be praised. Make a new song to Yahweh. Let his praise be in the meeting of his saints. Now, saints comes from ecclesia in the Greek, which means his called out ones. Doesn't mean they're perfect. It means they're called out. Let Jacob Israel have joy in his maker. That's you and me, guys. Joy in our maker. Let the children of Zion, so that's all of us, that's the women, the men, the children, be glad in their king. Let them give praise to his name, meaning his authority as well, in the dance. Let them make melody to him with instruments of brass and corded instruments of music. For Yahweh God has pleasure in his people. So who are his people? Everybody? That's funny. It says the children of Zion. Who are that? And don't tell me Jews. You're only showing your ignorance when you say that. The Israelites. He has pleasure in his people. He gives the poor in spirit a crown of salvation. You probably could say those who are meek. Poor in spirit doesn't really translate correctly. It's meek. Those who are not full of themselves, pompous asses, pretentious. Let the saints have joy and glory. Let them give cries of joy on their beds. Let the high praises of Elohim God be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hands. Oh, wait a minute. When's the last time the preacher down there at that whitewashed sepulcher taught that one? We're supposed to have praises of Yahweh in our mouth, but a two-edged sword in our hands. What are we going to do with that sword? Pick our teeth? Oh, I know what it is. We're going to go out and get lunch with it. That's it. Yeah, we're going to go out and we're going to take a sword and we're going to hack a steer up and cook it and have hamburgers, right? Or we're going to chop down wheat with it, right? Well, no, we got sickles for that, right? Well, what the hell's that sword for? To give the nations the reward of their sins and the peoples their punishment. Let's see, why is the world in the shape it's in? Oh, that's right, no accountability. Criminals walk free in every shape, size, color, occupation you can imagine. Nobody is held accountable. To put their kings, or prime ministers, or presidents, in chains, and their rulers, as in governors, senators, bureaucrats, heads of the FBI and CIA, in bands of iron. That's what we're supposed to do, folks. You're sitting back here thinking that the FBI, CIA, government hacks and shills are going to do what? Clean up their own act? Let's see. They've been in charge of watching over themselves for, decades. And all they do is get more criminal, hide more activities. Kevin Shipp says, you know why we don't know where the $21 trillion that the government claims is missing? It's not missing. They just labeled it secret. It's classified, so you simpletons don't know what they did with $21 trillion. To put their kings in chains and their rulers in bands of iron, to give them the punishment which is in the holy writings. This honor is given to all his saints. Praise be to Yahweh God. This honor has been given to all of his saints. What's all the honor? Well, wait a minute. The honor is to reward the other peoples for their sins. And to put punishment upon them and to put the kings and other bureaucrats in iron shekels. And then when they're found guilty of rape, kidnapping, murder, organ harvesting, pedophilia, poisoning of our food, poisoning of the body through vaccinations, they are to be hung by the neck until dead. This honor hath all his saints. And what do the Baal priests in the church world tell you? Well, Dan, what would Jesus do? Jesus wouldn't say, he wouldn't hang nobody because he just loves everybody. Again, let me know how that works out for you. Let me know how many criminals repent because they know you're going to pray for them. Let me know how many criminals decide they're not going to rape the next woman that comes down the street because the pastor is going to drag him into church and pray over him. It doesn't work that way, folks. It's not the world that was created for us. It's not part of the plan. Right here is part of the plan, Psalm 149. You just don't have the guts to do it. You don't have the backbone to do it. You don't have the vision to see the purity of it and the common sense of it. You would rather listen to the liars and profligates that are on the boob tube, the electronic toilets. I hate to say. It's unbelievable. Truly, truly unbelievable. All right. Kevin Shipp not only talked about our fact of having a right to alter reform, excuse me, our government, he also talked about the fact that the founding fathers intended us to be armed, to bear and keep arms, to be trained in arms, and be trained in the ways of war and the weapons of war. He stated that in the interview. So there is a former CIA officer at the highest levels who has admitted that we are in deep, deep trouble. We have had an insurgency, just as General Flynn referred to it as an insurgency, and that we are in a full-blown war of good versus evil. And like Psalm 149 says here, we are his instruments of war, as Jeremiah chapter 50 talks about. We are his battle axes and weapons of war. You and me, folks. It doesn't say the CIA is my battle axe. It doesn't say the FBI is my battle axe. It doesn't say the NSA is my battle axe. It doesn't even say the National Guard or the Army is my battle axe. Because they follow orders from people that are maybe not even of us, racially or by faith. They could be satanic. They can be Jews, which are enemies of us both racially and spiritually. Okay, a lot of Jews in government. A lot of Jews have infiltrated the Pentagon. Eisenhower rose to the top, and he was a piece of garbage as a general. Just go read the memoirs of Douglas MacArthur and General Patton, two real combat generals, and what they had to say about Eisenhower. All right, but Eisenhower was a Jew, just like Wesley Clark rose to the top. Why? He's a Jew. Why did Colin Powell rise to the top? Let's see. He was black and could speak fluent Yiddish. I wonder if that had anything to do with it. Could it be? Yeah, I think probably so. Okay. So, again, the people that obey the living God and repent and come back to him first and then come together as a body to do things the right way, we are the one that was given that right, that honor to bring out the punishments upon these people. We're looking for the people that have actually committed the crimes. We're thinking they are going to fix themselves. Again, let me know how that works out for you, because history has told us that criminal government tyrannies never fix themselves, okay? They only fix themselves when there's a threat of a mob with rope and weapons outside the window. King John of England signed the Magna Carta when the lords of the various shires, the barons and the lords, came into his castle. And at sword point, meaning they had their swords pointed at his throat, only then did King John sign the Magna Carta, which is the basis of our rights to trial by jury, our right to being innocent until proven by the government to be guilty of a crime, a real crime, not these made-up thought crimes and other bullcrap that we have today. So that document that started us into the common law, English common law era, when rights of the people were first recognized, that didn't get signed because he was magnanimous. It got signed because the lords put a sword to his throat and made him sign it. It's also proof that what I'm telling you about a biblical monarchy. Even if the monarch doesn't want to do the right things, the people below him, namely the Privy Council, or in this case, the lords and barons, can force him to do the right thing. He's not a dictator. He has to respond to the will of the people, and they have to watch over him, just like the Roman Emperor Trajan said to his men, "I'm asking you to use these weapons against our enemies as long as I issue righteous commands. If I become unrighteous, then use these weapons against me." Even the kings of ancient Parthia, the Israelite Parthians, their kings were under the same admonition. As long as you're righteous, then the men-at-arms will support you. When you become unrighteous, those same men-at-arms will hunt you down and hang you. Works perfectly. Sure as hell works better than what we have today. All right? So, phone lines are open. If anybody has additional comments or questions or whatever, we can address those at this time. And again, that Psalm 149 is proof to what we are saying as far as Kevin Shipp and Greg Hunter were talking about in that interview, and many others are also talking about the same thing. So, time to buckle up, put the big boy pants on. We got Jimmy here who wants to say something, so welcome to the program, Jimmy.
Hey, Commander Dan, long time no talk. Once again, a great show. You know, each week that goes by, each month that goes by, where the hell did April go? You know, I've been doing some live shows with my listeners, and I'm having serious network issues here today, which I won't go into. But I just wanted to pop in and say hello. Mm-hmm. And thank you for your gift of time and your knowledgeable, I won't call them rants, that's my job. but just wanted to come in and give you a snappy salute here. And, you know, any progress on anything that we can be doing? Because, you know, my troubleshooting mind, I sit here, I see an obvious problem. My hand is on the burner, and it hurts, and I should probably remove it kind of thing. But right. It doesn't seem like, you know, that we're smart enough to do that as a nation. I watched the comedy routine of these recent Democrats. Now we have Mr. Pledgerizing Joe Biden coming in. You know, I've stolen your line of kabuki theater and used it over and over again, which most people agree with. You know, what do we do, Dan?
Well, it's unfortunate, but we're still in that zone that I use that quote where it said that if it was not for the pen of the authors of Common Sense, then the sword of Washington would have been raised in vain. Many of our people like yourself that are success-oriented and goal-oriented and want to fix a problem like right now, it's difficult for the people with that mindset to understand because it takes patience. And what the founders meant by that was that until you get the people, not all the people, but there's a percentage, and I think we're very close to that percentage, you got to have a core of your movers and shakers, not the bartender, bar flies, and the drug. I'm talking about your core, solid citizens, middle class people. You got to get that group to understand what this is, what this fight's all about. And again, I think we're very close to reaching that. And once that number has been reached and they're fully aware of what the fight's all about, then the fighting starts. And that's what even Kevin Shipp was talking about, that we are very right. close, very close. In fact, he said that in a recent speech, Trump made it very clear that he actually expects Americans to be armed. No, I didn't listen to that
speech.
Well,
did you?
You know.
Well, Dan, did you see the Mr. Pence, our vice president, and Mr. Trump, our president, gave, to me, very impressive speeches. Mr. Pence was more impressive. It seemed like it was true to the heart. And I'm like you. You know, I want to believe in our president, which I have not lost faith in. I just understand he is being pulled in several directions by the very people and folks that need to be, you know, arrested. But I have a new belief, and based upon what Pence and Trump said in the NRA event that they attended, I believe it was Thursday, maybe it was Friday, I forget, it was one of those 2 days. And Trump said, you know, the swamp is going to be drained, and I want to believe that. And with that lead-in, Dan, do you believe in your intelligent mind that we are going to see some big arrest coming? You know, Coach Dave got a visit from the FBI. He drove up to Hillary's house a couple days later. The fact that Obama's attorney got arrested, I don't know if that's Kabuki theater or if that's the low-hanging fruit that's going to, because you know, well, I'm going to ask you if you agree with this, and then I'll yield for your answer. See, in my opinion, if they get the low-hanging fruit, like the Loretta Lynch's and the the Obama attorneys, and get them hemmed up, that they'll start to sing like songbirds. And to actually throw in that mix, Commander Dan, Julian Assange, I wanted to get your opinion on, do you see the table being set for what we've all waited for? And I've got an open standing offer. When they arrest Hillary Clinton, I'm flying in my core listeners into Tampa. I'm going to put them up, going to fly them in, going to buy them dinner, lunches, and everything else. And I'm not being pretentious, but it'll be a good day for America when the Hillary Clintons and the like take the perp walk. And do you feel that I'll ever have to own up to my promise?
Someday, yes. Is it today or soon? That I can't answer because, again, so much of what we're seeing is kabuki theater. Until we have proof, it's all kabuki theater. So I don't know. Are things being done that could add up to this all happening? Absolutely. Absolutely. If it's not kabuki theater, if it's for real. But there is so much kabuki theater going on that it's very difficult to know. But the good news is we're not going to have to wait much longer. We're not going to see the end of this year, the end of 2019, without having that answered. That's for sure. So we only have,
I agree,
at the most,
sir.
You know, we only have, what, 7 months left at most, 7-8 months, and we're going to have that answer. But are there things that we're being given that give the impression that these things are going to have? Yes, definitely. Is it for real? Well, a lot of it hasn't been for real up till now. Okay, again, somebody's got to explain John Bolton to me, Mike Pompeo, Elliot Abrams, why are you sanctioning Venezuela and punishing those people simply because they want to keep their oil and their precious metals? Okay, aren't we done with that bullshit? I thought Iraq was enough, Serbia was enough, Libya was enough. How many more people have to die so we can have their resources to give to our Israeli friends? Okay, they're not actually our friends or our enemies, but they still control what we do. Okay, I don't see an end to that, and that's the problem with it. We're given some bits and pieces that could lead to something happening, but again, until we have actual proof, I'm pushing for the middle class, patriotic American to come back to his roots, which is a acknowledgement of our race and our Father in Heaven. So it's our faith and our race, which are the two most important things, and a willingness to fight anybody who threatens us and our families. And that includes government agents or even cops trying to force people to vaccinate. That's a sign of an enemy. I don't care who it is.
Oh, you switched the gear. That I'm glad you did. But you know, this Mayor Mike, that's, you know, was kissing his husband or whatever. I mean, that just makes me sick to my stomach. And the fact that it's on a national stage, not to mention the librarians and Coach Dave. If you listen to him, he's got a couple of teachers in his jurisdiction that are men. They're going to school dressed as women, teaching elementary school, and how it's okay, and we have to be diverse. Dan, see, that is the devil's hand. That is the devil's penmanship and what we have to stop. And
yeah.
Coach Dave is like me. I mean, and I've heard you even, and I don't mean to make any accusations, but we are men of Yahweh, and we are, I personally, I won't speak for anyone else, but I hear it in their voices, I am absolutely just sick of this. And let me ask you one more question. You know, Biden's son, I'm not quite sure how he passed away, but apparently he had his fingers very deep in the cookie jar of Venezuela. Hey, what do you know about that?
I've heard that. I have not investigated that, so I really can't answer on that one too much as far as what I actually know. There is good researchers out there that have connected a lot of the dots on all these family ties and corporate ties and hidden corporation ties between these bad actors. And that's why, like I said, I'm going to be very suspicious of what's being put out there by this administration or any other administration until I see proof. Okay, this is all...
Amen.
Again, it could be Kabuki theater, meaning it's put out there. These people have studied how to manipulate us for decades and decades. Okay, that's the whole purpose for psychology and psychiatry working with the intelligence agency, all of it under a Jewish umbrella. Because that's how Jews operate. Go watch how Jews operate. I've seen them do it in the offices of the plants I worked in. They work exactly the same. They get in there. Who can be corrupted? They want to know everything about your life, your family, your children, what you have in your home, where you go. They're always looking to build a dossier so they know what buttons to push and where you're vulnerable. It doesn't matter if it's just a clerk at a power plant or a Jew in Washington, D.C. They work exactly the same way. And as long as those bastards are in there, how do you know who to trust?
Well, to that end, and see, I try to remain on the fence, and I'm like you. I trust you, Dan, and I think you trust me, but I agree that neither one of us should trust each other. And I know that sounds like a double-edged sword, but at the end of the day, If someone asks me what my personal soul thinks here, and not to be a pessimist, but I think that we are being played again. And how many times can little boy cry wolf to keep us appeased, to keep us in our corners? And I'm not afraid to lash out, but I do admit that I have chosen my words more carefully. Which pisses me off on that regard. You know, if nothing was wrong, you and I would be talking about underwater basket weaving or, hey, Dan, I'm going to do a seminar for free to teach young folks how to start their own business and give them confidence and offer to be their coach at no charge. That's what I can do since I don't have any kids. And, of course, Jim, you got to be making money out of somewhere. No, folks, I'm not. I'm not. I had Attorney Tom on my show yesterday. We're starting a new website, and I won't do a shameless plug here. Dan, I'll talk to you about this off air, but we're going to offer business coaching and true honest without the sales BS and all that. But let me circle back around to my point. If you ask me right now which side of the fence I'm on my belief in this is really going to happen, I'm 51% on the pessimistic side. I think we're being fed more pablum, more spoonful of sugar. And right to your end about the Jews, you know, years ago I had Karen Hudis, which was the attorney for the Treasury that got fired, and she went off and headed up the International Monetary Fund. And I believed in her. I trusted her, only to find out that it was also a spoonful of sugar to help the medicine go down. And all this Bitcoin crap, all this Q crap, folks, we got to get rid of all these shiny new gadgets and go back to being basic men, basic human with souls, hearts, and yeah. Be able to find a way to get in their faces and say, look, I'm not buying your wolf story anymore. Yeah, there's a wolf out there, but they say they've got it under control and they're going to take care of it, Dan. In summary, I don't believe any of it at all. And with that, I have to make plans to have countermeasures. Does that make sense? In other words, yeah. One day we're going to come alive and say, okay, we're done listening to your promises. We're done listening to you arresting a few low-hanging grapefruit that are rotten anyway. And see, with that, that's where I'm on edge about there is going to come a day. One of two things are going to happen, and I'll yield. One is that we are really going to see that these promises that are being made are not empty, or we're going to have to really implement our backup plan.
Yep. Well, I understand fully what you mean. We got another caller here, so let me jump off and see what Gary's got. All right, Jimmy?
All right, Dan. Thank you so much, sir. And let's catch up on the phone this week. I've got some new ideas for you, brother. Thank you so much for what you do.
Absolutely. Yahweh bless, bud.
Yahweh.
Gary, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Pastor.
Yep.
Glad to hear Jimmy. He's always got a lot of things to talk about. But when you were going through the program there was two things that entered my mind. First of all, we hire these people in the government to protect us. In other words, Border Patrol, Army. I mean, it says in the Constitution the Army's supposed to protect our borders. The Navy protects our shorelines. Well, that doesn't happen anymore. They hire Border Patrol to protect our borders, but geez, it's pretty hard to hire people when you're paying them $60,000 to $70,000 a year, and you need as much as an army. There's something wrong with that picture. We don't have an army down there. And then, when you said Psalms 149, I said, "Wait a minute, let me go read that." And I read that. These guys in government, they better start shaking. No matter what you said is going to happen anyway. Psalms 149 says so.
Right.
So
yeah. Oh yeah. At some point it's going to happen regardless.
Yeah, and it's going to be his people, which would be Israel. Israel's put there for that purpose. We even protect those that aren't of Israel from the enemy. And this is what's happening. Why are they opening the border? Where's the protection of our borders? Where's this government that we hired? Oh, well, they're out arresting the militia that's trying to protect us. We hire people. They don't do nothing except for harm us. So we try to do it, and they arrest us. Something wrong with that picture. They should be arresting all them people invading our borders, not us. But they're not doing that.
And well, they serve a different master. Remember, you can't serve two masters, all right? They don't serve the living God, and they don't serve the American people. Those are no longer their masters. Their masters wear little beanies and eat bagels.
That's true. And they didn't start this country. Where is the country they started? I want to see it.
You know, they never have. Parasites don't start their own country.
No, they're so this and so that. Well, show me that. They don't have it. They steal. The scripture says, watch out for Satan because he's a deceiver. Now,
exactly.
Satan, of course, is them. If you go back to study the Bible, Satan is them. Yes, they have a leader, and they call him Satan, too. They're all saying, those are his children. If those are his children, what do they call him? Satan. Okay? So he's shrewd. He comes in lying. He comes in stealing. He has nothing. Like, you, even that country that they have over there, that's ours. It's not theirs. We were the guys that had it. England had it and gave it to them. They stole it from England.
Well, Balfour was the traitor that gave it away, and then even Hitler made a mistake and signed the transfer agreement to ship Jews from Germany into Palestine. You're in league with the devil when you sign any document with those people. You can have no business with them. First of all, there's no honor amongst them. There's no honesty, no integrity, no transparency. They're liars, deceivers, and thieves. They've always been that way. And I remember as a little boy in the 1950s, my grandparents telling me, don't ever trust a Jew, okay? They knew. Okay, my grandfather was in the insurance business. He was an insurance inspector, and that was his job, and he worked in New York quite often. And so he knew. He worked amongst them. He knew how they operated. Huh?
Oh, I was talking to Elka.
Oh.
She was asking me a question at the same time. So I was listening to you, though, Pastor. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, the big mistake so many people make is they think that they can incorporate the Jew into the things that we're going to do going forward and be successful. You can't do that. Okay? Again, you know, Hitler in the Third Reich made the mistake of allowing Jews to stay in the Third Reich. That was a mistake, okay? They did not do what everybody accuses them of doing. If they had done what everybody accuses them of doing, they would not have lost the war. Okay, even with our help, they probably still would have won the war, but the treason within their ranks by the Jews that were in Germany brought them down. So the treason, because let's face it, the Jews in Germany were in league with the Jews in England, the Jews in Australia, the Jews in New Zealand, and the Jews in Canada, and the Jews in the United States. They all work in league with each other. So how was Hitler ever going to win? He couldn't have won.
Pastor, did you notice one thing that you just laid out? They were in the lands of the Israelites.
Yeah,
none of it was theirs. It was the Israelites' lands and governments that they were in. They owned no land. And, I remember my grandmother when she was still alive and we were young kids, and she would come down and see us. She lived in Seattle. She was a Catholic, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she had bad things to say about the Jews. You know, she had nothing good to say about them. And she had to work, and she said she worked for a Jew, and she had nasty names for that, too, because she said they screw you. She didn't use that word. She says, but they cheat you out of money. They make you do all kinds of things. when you eat your lunch, you know, they make sure that you've got it all tidied up on time, all these types of things. She didn't have too much good to say about the Jews.
Well, no. When people are honest, when they take the blinders off and they take the artificial mental construct called political correctness and they take that away and they're actually honest, there's lots of testimonies I've heard about the nefarious behavior of Jews, all the way from the small town in Pennsylvania where my ex-sister-in-law worked at a factory that was run by Jews, and she complained about what pompous asses they were, and they were constantly taking away their benefits. And then the Jewish lightning that burnt the warehouse down, that they filled it full of unsold stuff, so stuff that was not going to get sold. Nobody wanted it. It was whatever. They stuffed it into this warehouse, set the warehouse on fire, so the insurance company paid for a new warehouse, and they wrote off all that product that wasn't selling as a loss. So, as always, Jewish lightning struck and a Jew ends out on top. They paid off the inspector. He said it was a welder's torch that set it off. Again, Jewish lightning strikes. It's over and over and over and over again. I saw it in the workplace that when I worked with them. It's how they work. Once you take the blinders off, of political correctness, you can see them for what they are: profligate liars and deceivers.
It's like everybody out here that I know thinks they own a home. Okay, they own a $500,000 home here in San Diego, and they think they do. The bank has the mortgage on it. You know, so in reality, you trace it down. What they've done with all the property is they took the property, they cut it up in subdivisions, they own the property, and then they build on it, then they sell it to you. It's such a high interest rate, you'll never pay it off. And if you get close to paying it off, they always find a way to get you back in debt again with your property. They constantly own your property. You own nothing. You don't even own your car. The only thing you get to do is drive it. And sometimes that's taken away from you. So we own nothing. They own everything. And the way they got it is through thievery and deception. They run this movie in front of you, and you believe it. It's terrible what's going on out there. This is what, you know, as I read Psalms 149, they're going to be hung. They won't even own a rope. We'll own a rope to put around their neck. We got that. I think you sent it with the three hanging ropes. What do they call it? The platform.
Oh.
You know, with the,
yeah.
That was neat. We sent that around.
Yeah.
People, this is.
Oh yeah, you're talking about the government repair kit.
Yes.
That
is a wonderful repair kit.
Government repair kit, a gallows with three places for hanging three. Well, remember the Farmer's Almanac used to say a good hemp rope is good for hanging 50 politicians. All right?
That's right.
So
a politician is a trained individual, trained to tell lies and make you believe it.
That's right. Well, it's wizardry. And what does Nakash mean in the Hebrew? A deceiver, an enchanter. What does a chanter do?
Tells
okay.
Lies.
Exactly. It's like alchemy. What is alchemy? Taking base metals and trying to make them appear as real. What did we find out that the U.S. government was guilty of with the Chinese? Sending them tungsten bars coated with gold. Who does that sound like? Jews! Jews do things like that. Okay? It's alchemy. It's wizardry. It's sorcery. It's what they do. I want to read, this was just sent to me by one of our Israelite brothers in Arkansas, and it's dealing with Kevin Shipp's interview with Greg Hunter. So listen to what he says here. Brother Daniel, the mystery of iniquity. What is happening is classic dialectics. On one hand, extreme Marxism is pulling out all stops. That drives thinking one way. On the other hand, the foe of Marxism is working for the very fathers of Marxism. Facebook, Google, Apple, Microsoft, all created with the assistance of the very foe of which we speak, are colluding together to silence the real opposition, which is the true Christian Israelite, or an aware Israelite. Trump, being directed by the same people, will be set forth as the savior, and will be given the opportunity to wipe out the $67 trillion debt now owed by the United States government by instituting a new form of governmental economic control under the aegis of the, quote, same people, the Satan of Scripture. That will entail a new form of money called credits, which will be accessible only through electronics, and eventually a chip within one's person. What Shipp is saying about war will be the ogre used to stampede us into compliance, and those of us who resist will be rounded up, imprisoned, and eventually killed. The refusal of the mass of Christian identity to recognize any part of Revelation to be unfulfilled also puts them in peril, and will abet the catching of our people in the snare. So as to what Jimmy was saying about the Kabuki theater we're seeing, is it for real? And he's siding on skepticism. I'm citing on skepticism for exactly the same way. You can see how we're being corralled into going rah, rah, rah for Trump to where he can literally run this country like a dictator because things are so ugly. But we have to remember, all of this is being done intentionally. It could have been ended within the first month of him taking office. Everybody says, well, it's such a big task, and he's got such a big swamp working against him. Kabuki theater! No, they're all laughing. And Hillary's laughing with Trump in the back corners of some remote location, laughing their ass off at all of us watching this Kabuki theater going, Trump's the savior, when they're all owned and operated by the same satanic forces at the top. They all love money. They all love attention. Let's face it, Trump's known to be an egomaniac, all right? Why is he on television? He's a multi-billionaire. He went bankrupt how many times? Who bailed him out? That's right. It was Irv and Saul at the local synagogue. Bailed out his father, bailed him out. Okay, and yet we're told that he's going to drain the swamp. Well, let's see. The swamp's made up of Jews, but his daughter's a Jew, married to a Mossad agent. Their grandchildren are Jews, and he thinks that's great, but he's going to save Christian America. Let me know how that works out for you, folks, all right? Let me know how that works out for you. This guy who's surrounded by swamp creatures is going to drain the swamp and come to our salvation. But what's the Bible say? Who is the savior of our people? Does it say anything at all about a man, a mortal man, especially a mortal man who's a multi-billionaire in New York City and in Florida who lives among and hobnobs with and parties with Satan's kids? Is there anything in Scripture that says our Messiah is going to come out of that group of people and save our ass? Where in Scripture does it say that?
Well, Pastor, you know that's true. And Jews are deceivers. So he's hanging out with deceivers. He knows exactly what he's doing. And it's just the old cliche, how'd he come out of nowhere and become the president? Because it was planned that way, that's why. And, you know, the only thing we have is our Savior. He's the only one that can save us. All this other is just garbage. When our Savior does it, it's going to be factual. And it's going to happen. It's just going to happen. And they're not going to know how it happened, except there's a lot of them going to be hanging out, you know, on top of a platform.
Well, you know, it's Kabuki theater because Trump won the grassroots patriots and people that want this country saved. He was allowed to say what he said, but, you know, what if you, Gary, what if you got on national television and said what Trump said? What if I got up there and said what Trump said? How long would we be alive, let alone free? Okay? They let him do that. Why? It's Kabuki theater to get you to think Trump's your savior.
Yeah, if you can't say it and I can't say it and he does, then you have to say, what's the connection here? That's for sure. You know, and he's got lots of money. How'd he get his money? All this stuff. You and I, you know, have to rub two nickels together to exist. And this guy.
Well, here's another one. Here's another one. Explain to me how a technology like 5G, and even now they're talking 6G. You explain to me how this savior is pushing this on us. It's untested. It's not been proven safe. But they're pushing. But his good buddies over in that cesspool called It's a Lie, they're not going to install it. They've already said that. Many European countries are already saying they're not going to install it. Even some fire departments and schools have had it taken away. And Trump's not going to allow it on any of his properties in Florida, anywhere near him. Well, wait a minute. Isn't that hypocrisy? Okay. Now, refresh my memory, Gary. Where in the Scripture does it tell me what one of the signs of the Antichrist are? I'm having trouble remembering. I think it's in Luke, and it has to do with what? Oh, that's right. Hypocrisy.
Yeah, see, the big one of the big notes in the Bible is the Satan, which is the Jews and their leader, that's what they're called, deception. Deception is hypocrisy. They lied to you and you believed it. It's all over. Oh, we get to go back to America again. No, I don't think so, because this country is not filled with the original people. It's got the original people here, but a whole bunch of other things, too, that don't belong here. How is it that these people all of a sudden are just like us? No, they're not. They've convinced people that we're all the same and all equal, and they think I'm blind. You know, I go, wait a minute, this guy's got kinky dark hair, he's got big lips, he's got a flat nose, he's got dark, real dark skin, you know, and I'm sitting here, my hair's straight, I got blue eyes, I got white skin or pink skin. I says, we're not even the same as far as visual goes. Well, you both think, no, he thinks different than I do. You know, he doesn't like us. I'm not necessarily fond of them either.
I don't trust any of them. I don't trust any of them. That's just the way I'm going to be. I don't trust any of them, especially if they can't talk the truth of our Father and the truth of all things. Because, correct me if I'm wrong here now, but doesn't the Scripture say that we're to be men of honor and truth even unto death? Okay, but we're told that these kabuki theater bad actors can't do it because they're concerned about there might be some unrest or this or that. Who gives a damn? Look at the world, man. It's sinking. Thousands upon thousands of innocent souls are being tortured, raped, murdered, organs harvested every single day. And that's not a problem? We're going to slow down the resolving of this issue because of maybe some unrest? When we're talking about rape and murder and abortion and all this other hideous, heinous shit going on, are you kidding me? Let me tell you, here's something I want people to understand, okay? Some people are addicted to movies, all right? Well, do yourself a favor. I've got a list of 5 movies. You want an education? Let me give you 5 movies. Now, I don't know who made these movies or why they let them out here, but I think it's the enemy because they get a certain sexual gratification when they rub your noses in what they're doing to you, okay? So here's 5 movies that's rubbing your nose into how you're manipulated, how they lie, etc., etc. You watch a comedy called The Kid. Now, most of the movie is rather funny. It's got Bruce Willis in it, and it's actually a cute movie. But it's the propaganda in the movie that you need to watch. The propaganda of what Bruce Willis's job is in real life during the movie. His real job is to make bad actors look good. He's a publicity guy. He makes a fortune taking corrupt businessmen and corrupt government people and how to manipulate the masses through the media to make them forgive you for your crimes, okay? There's your propaganda in that one. The next movie's Capricorn 1. Go watch it. It's an old movie, but it tells you about NASA and how you're being lied to. It's kabuki theater. Why do you think they hired Disney movie makers and paid them buckets of money for NASA? Please, why would NASA need movie makers? Number 3, Wag the Dog. That's exactly what's happening in the world of politics. Wag the Dog. Go watch it. You're addicted to movies? Watch something that might open your eyes. V for Vendetta. Okay? There's a lot of shit in the movie I don't like. But if you look at the expose of how government works, liars, deceivers, how the alphabet soup agencies work behind closed doors and how they hide it, all that, excellent, is in V for Vendetta. And last but not least, one of my all-time favorites, They Live, with the actor Roddy Piper, who was a wrestler, is the protagonist in the movie, and how he gets the glasses that reveal the propaganda hiding the serpent race that walks amongst us. So right there, 5 movies. If you're addicted to the damn movies, at least watch these 5 and get an education, because it's your enemy rubbing your face in what they're doing.
I did see the last one that you talked about. I think I've seen it twice. And that is amazing. Put the glasses on here. There you go.
You know what the glasses are? The glasses the glasses are symbolic of the identity message. Only this message reveals the serpent amongst us.
That's true. I talk to a lot of people who call themselves Christians, and I get, that's okay, we don't need to talk about that. I tell them, it's okay. And there's this one girl, she's a Seventh-day Adventist, and she tells me how Jesus saved her because she was married, she cheated on her husband, and she's lost her kids, and she lived in the streets, all kinds of things. And she says Jesus saved her from that, okay? But then she goes into the Jews or God's chosen people and all that stuff. I says, you haven't learned anything. You don't even know who you are. Oh, yes, I do. I'm a child in Christ. That's interesting. You know, these people that run around thinking they're Christians, only through mercy does Christ allow them to run around doing that. Because they don't know what the scriptures say, period. You point out in the scriptures, what does the scriptures have to say? And you point it out to them, Pastor. You point it right to them. And they go, oh, well, and they make an excuse around it. They're pastors. It's like we decided to go to this church over here. And this pastor gave a sermon on 28th chapter of Matthew. And he says it's where the apostles come up the hill and he sends them out to preach in the nations. But he never finished it because, you see, Christ also said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I forget what scripture that's in. We said last week. But anyway, and you go to the 12th chapter of Matthew, it tells you, and he directs them to not only go into the nations, but who they are to preach to. And I told that pastor, and he says, oh, well, that's just different times. You know, and I said, same yesterday, today, and forever, and yet you're not believing that. I said, who put this preacher up there on the lectern and he didn't give the whole full sermon? You know, if you're going to talk about something, talk about it as the scriptures say. And that's what I always tell somebody when they go to talk to me. What does the scripture say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't argue with that. They can argue if it's my feeling. In other words, if I say the scriptures and I don't mention the scriptures, but I say something, you know, they say, well, that's just your idea. That's what you think it is. But now I can say, no, that's not what I say. That's what the scriptures say. That's what Christ says. And that's what I believe in. Well, they can't argue with that. The only thing they can say is that that's your interpretation. Well, here it is. Read it for yourself. You tell me what it says.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing you can do. That's why it's important for, I think there was this guy out there named Pastor Dan a long time ago who used to say, always know your scriptures when you get in an argument.
Yep.
Because that's the only thing you're going to have to protect you. Because if you say you're a Christian and you're following the Bible, I mean, somebody might be a non-believer, what have you. They have a right to that. I just tell them, well, you know what? I'm a Christian, and that's what I believe in. Yeah, but it doesn't say that. I said, I just read it to you right out of the book. You can go buy yourself one and read it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You always have to do that. Always know your scriptures.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, Pastor, I got to get moving, you know, and it's just late morning here. I don't know what it is back there where you're at. I think around noontime, isn't it?
Yep. 12:30.
Yeah, so we got to go do a few things. So, y'all bless. And tell Jimmy the same exact thing. Y'all bless.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He hears you.
Yeah, I miss him sometimes when he's off the line for a long time. You know, he comes on every now and then. He pops in and out.
He's busy.
Smart fellow.
Yep.
So is Pastor Dan. Okay.
We'll talk with you later. Eric, you say, hello to Elka for us.
Okay.
Yahweh bless. Bye-bye. All right. Excellent day. All right, folks, we're going to cut it off here. We're at the 2.5-hour mark, so we're going to button this one up so I can get it uploaded. And I wanted to tell Jimmy, too, his phone connection was shaky as well. So I don't know if it's in that region that they're having troubles with phone and computer, or if it's he's been targeted as a person of interest. Who the hell knows anymore? To Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor, and thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We thank you for the truths that you revealed to us. We just pray that we do a good job in getting this information out to the ears that need to hear it, and for those that have proper discernment, because obviously everybody else is going to think it's foolishness. But you have a remnant upon this earth, the elect. You said that the time would be shortened for your coming, so that not all flesh should perish. A lot of flesh is going to perish. We understand that. Whether it's a allegory of punishment and like autism and failed health, etc., because of our disobedience, or whether it's an actual antichrist system that will enslave and murder most of mankind. It could be anything from one end to the other. We don't know. All we know is the right side of the fence is to be with you. And that's where we want to stay, on this side, you and Messiah. And that's the righteous side, and to do righteousness for all people. Life, liberty, and property is the right of every single person, as long as they're obedient to you and your law. Period. That's the only way it works. The rest of it is kabuki theater, is deception, is hypocrisy, lies, and we've had enough of that. So for your remnant's sake, Father, we ask that your coming be very, very soon. Put an end to this nonsense. Raise up the men at arms, and that's what we need. And Jimmy was asking, what do we need? We need the men at arms. We need the soldiers. Everything in this world is settled with force. That's just the way this world works. That's why the scripture is so clear about we're to be armed, we're to know weapons of war, the ways of war, because bad people only respond to force. They don't respond to anything else. So when righteous men come together at arms, pick your leaders and be ready to do the dirty job. There's a dirty job that has to be done, but by God, it ain't going to get better until we do it. So, again, we ask that this word gets out to everybody that's supposed to hear it. In the meantime, for those of us that struggle through day to day, there's many folks out there with faintness of heart. They're discouraged. They're frustrated because of this sick and demented world. You told us it was going to be this way, and you said it would be this crazy and bad. But you also told us when it got this ugly that it wasn't much longer until our redemption would come. And we pray for that. We pray for you to come, end all the arguing, end all the nonsense, take your position upon the throne, and dictate your terms to us, and get rid of this complete nonsense that we can self-govern, because we're incapable. We're too corrupt, we're too evil, we're too stupid. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable that we can't even regulate ourselves. And yet that's the sad truth. So come back, take your rightful position as our leader and our king, and let's just end this whole nonsensical madness that's taken this world and put these wicked in the dirt where they belong. Forgive us our sins, Father Yahweh. Walk with us. Give us courage. Give us a good vision and protect us from our enemies. We ask for all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.